Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2 Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I am Mike Bloom, here to talk everything RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars for the week. We have a snatch game, we have a runway, we have a quit, we have another queen eliminated, a big, chunky show to talk about. But of course, I'm not alone. I'm flanked by the other members of the RHAP community and Drag Race super fans. First, someone who does not know the meaning of the word tapping out, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Can't wait to talk about episode 2. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of things to talk about with my girl, Allie. Allie, how you doing?
I just want to make it clear that whatever discussion is had today is not going to be about favoritism.
Perfect, perfect. And just so you know, I've heard Allie has a line of platform jellies coming out of all color, shapes, and sizes.
Oh.
So look forward to that. Lawyer be damned.
That is laughable if you've seen, like, the zero fashion sense that I have.
Yeah,
have you seen her shoes? Every drag queen dresses better than me.
Even in latex?
Especially in latex.
Before we jump into the episode proper, and as I said at the top, we have a lot to talk about. Allie, since unfortunately we didn't have you for the last 20 minutes or so of our previous podcast, I would love to hear your thoughts on that last minute twist reveal at the end of last episode. And we get it at this episode as well. No newer information revealed, but what are your thoughts about this possibility of Coco, Tatiana, and the eliminated queens coming back into the competition for a shot, quote unquote, at their revenge?
I like it. I mean, at this point, I feel like we just have to accept that this is what the future of reality television is. Like, everyone's going to have a last chance kitchen or Redemption Island. I don't know that the queen eliminated is going to have a real shot. I mean, I feel like the first two queens really deserve to go home, but I think it'll be more interesting when one of the top queens gets cut. And I'm excited to see it. I feel like I trust Rue with the twist. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm going to try to be optimistic about this one.
Well, if we do it, I'd rather see, in the instances of buybacks that we've had previously on RuPaul's Drag Race, I'd much rather what they did with season 7, which was the last buyback we had, where they all competed to get on, rather than in the past when Ru just said, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, Kenya Michaels, come back into the competition.
Right. Well, what I was going to say was somebody asked us on Twitter, and actually many people asked us on Twitter, whether or not we thought this was a Redemption Island thing, or if we thought that Ru was like forming some kind of jury. And I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that.
The jury thing sounds interesting. So I'm assuming it would be, instead of Rue deciding, then you would assume that the top three or top two would be decided upon by a jury of their peers. Is that what the assumption would be?
That's what the assumption would be, but I don't really see how it's practical for a variety of reasons, not which, like if you had, you know, a final two, you'd have 8 people. If you have, you know, I guess you could do 3 with 7 and hope not for a tie. But beyond that, there's logistical problems of, you know, Coco has been out of the picture for, you know, now an episode. I mean, are we really expect her to have a comment on, you know, what happened in the snatch game and the latex runway? I mean, give me a break. So I address this because many people ask me specifically on Twitter, but like to put a pin in it, no, this ain't happening. It's they're bringing somebody back. That's what's happening. It's not going to be a jury unless, Allie, you have a different opinion.
No, my thing with the jury is just like the judges have become almost like useless to the point. I'm still enjoying the root beer float, the alcohol thing. I'm still enjoying like you guys go work. We're going to have a good time. But like how much power are we going to take away from the judges, from the judging panel? Like one of the things I'm really missing this season is like the judging panel and Rue mattering more than they do. So if we're going to take even more power from them, I'm not down with that.
Okay.
Yeah, and the going back to a point you brought up earlier, Brent, the idea of the jury is that in Survivor, they got to sit in at the tribal councils. In Big Brother, they get tapes of what happened during the week. If they do a jury format on RuPaul's Drag Race, like you said, the queens that are eliminated early virtually have no idea what happened unless they're in like a segregated hotel suite and somebody just comes in and says what happened. So I wouldn't really see the practicality of it. And since it's a surprise, I'd like to imagine that they're going to bring someone back and spring it on the contestants because they love the shocked faces. And hopefully Alyssa will be in the competition at that point to prompt that. And especially with Adore quitting this episode, now we're unexpectedly down to 7 instead of 8. So I feel like they have definitely now buffered in enough competitions to have a buyback in there.
Right. Down to 7 already. And I think I need to talk about the fact that there are 7 queens left and 3 of them are from Alaska Talks. And Alaska can say what she wants, but like if you're looking at that and you're one of the other queens, I've got to think you have to be nervous, but we can talk about it at the end.
Yeah, so let's jump into the beginning of this episode because it is another longer episode, a 90-minute episode. I do wonder if there are going to be 90-minute episodes from here on out, which I wouldn't be necessarily mad at, but I'm assuming with all the stuff going on with Adore that they really had to make room for it, because I would say the first maybe 20 to 30 minutes of this episode are pretty much Adore dominated. Even in the beginning, after Coco's elimination, you can see Adore is still pretty broken up. I mean, Alyssa brings up the fact that, you know, I was pretty pissed when I thought I was safe initially, but then I heard everything that was being hurled Adore's way, and I was definitely glad I was in the back of the room. And that sort of culminates what happens the next day. But first, we have an announcement of the challenge. What were you guys thinking about RuPaul's Minnie Mouse polka dot blazer and pants look?
On point. I pretty much nothing Rue wears like ever disappoints me, but when Rue walked in this suit, I like lost my damn mind.
Well, I can count on one hand the number of times that I have looked at a something that Rue has worn either as a man or a woman, and like there are not many, Mike. I mean, she knows what she's doing. She knows how her body wears clothes and how they hang on her. And I think she has a really good sense of color. So it's always fun to see Rue come in, no matter what she's wearing.
Yeah, I feel like this time in particular was just a lot of Dr. Seuss realness. And of course, it was particularly wacky because we have, for the first time, an all-star instance of the Snatch Game. Now, Brent, correct me if I'm wrong. They did do impressions in the first All-Stars, but that was like a laugh-in type of thing, right? Not necessarily Snatch Game.
Yeah, actually. And, you know, the first RuPaul's Drag Race is not my forte. You're talking about the first All-Stars. I'm sorry.
All-Stars, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you know, wow, you're really testing me. I can't even tell you, Allie, do you know what happened on the first All-Stars? Like, all I remember, it was Pears, I was pissed, Latrice and Manila got eliminated, and Tammy Faye Baker did something, or Tammy Faye Brown, I guess, and Chad won. So that's all I remember from that, actually.
Yeah, it was like RuPaul's Gaffin.
And yeah, where they had to come out of the holes. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yara and Alexis, I think, won a Shakira and Charo.
Yeah.
I know this because I'm looking at it right now, not because
okay, thank
I
you. Thank you. See,
Wikipedia confirmed through the mouths of lashers. Yes. But this is the first time that they're bringing individual Snatch Game to All Stars, which I think has a lot of connotations. They're going to bring up here, we have some previous winners, we have some previous losers. None of them got eliminated on the Snatch Game, but some of them have not done particularly well. But all of that kind of gets pushed to the side momentarily as the next significant portion of time is dedicated to Adore Delano's lingering feelings towards the last runway, which will eventually culminate in her deciding to leave the game. Now, before we dive into the nitty gritty of it all, Allie, I just want to get your general thoughts about this sequence. What is the taste in your mouth that has been left by Adore Delano after this episode?
Directly from my notes, give me a fucking break. I could not believe that this is happening. I will say, again, with Drag Race being willing to do things that no other show would, I love that we got Michelle and Adore on camera.
Yeah, with like a production van in the background.
Yeah, and she like rolls in with sunglasses because like her eye makeup's not done yet. Like, I just like felt that was very real. Like, but I mean, you are a GD professional. You've been on a whole season of the show, and I get it that it was a difficult road for her, but you are not going on world tours as you talk about and having all this money, as she talks about in her Periscope. because you were just doing this on your own. Like, Drag Race made you a star, and I just felt like this was like a complete lack of respect for the opportunity.
Right. It infuriated me because she said, well, I thought about, you know, stepping away when I was in the bottom three last week. I'm like, well, Coco would have really liked that. So why couldn't she have done that? That way, at least we'd still have nine or eight queens left. But I was really pissed at her when I watched the show. After watching her Periscope, I had a little bit more sympathy for her because she did say, well, you know, when I watched the first episode, I was a total crybaby. And I was like, OK, good. I'm glad she said it. But then she started to rationalize a lot of things, saying, she said, I was working really hard last year. My dad died last year. And also, I had just broken up with my ex. And so maybe I shouldn't have said yes to this. I think that's apparent to everybody, first of all, that Adore shouldn't have said yes to this, number one. Okay, she should have said no. On the other hand, Mike, I have to tell you this. I don't know if you're listening to her Periscope, but she said that if she did not come back, she was hoping somebody like Ganji got a chance. La Ganja Estranja? Like, I am all of a sudden... I'm so thankful that Adore actually did this and then quit, because we don't have to put up La Ganja Estranja all season. Thank you, Adore. Yeah. Love you.
I mean, I'm hoping that was me. That was my La Ganja impression. Yeah, I'm hoping. Yeah, that was not like an air horn or anything. That was an actual La Ganja Estranja expression. Yeah, I hope that... that Adore was not speaking on behalf of production, that you know, La Ganja was, I don't know, like an alternate or something. Because I've also seen, like, in response to this quit, there have been a lot of mixed messages, because obviously there have been a lot of big fans of Adore who will definitely flock to her side over somebody else's. There have been other people that have said, bring back La Ganja, bring back Trixie Mattel, bring back Milk, what have you. I'm still pretty torn, because I agree with you, Brent. After checking out the Periscope and really seeing how Dani rationalized what was going on, and especially knowing everything that had been going on in his life up to that point, I mean, first of all, If there's any reason to watch the Periscope, just look at Dani Noriega. Looks fantastic. And again, I don't mean to demean how Adore looks on All Stars 2, but she's looking better. She's looking a lot better.
Agreed.
But on the other hand, I mean, I can't give that much respect to people who quit any of these reality shows, just because, I mean, I won't spoil Australian Survivor too much, but the host does say something at one point to the effect of, you know, thousands of people apply to be on the show. In the case of this All-Star season, there are so many queens that are hungry to fight for another chance to get on the screen again, and to have Adore not only quit, but treat her time on the show with a lot of apathy as well. It does not leave a great taste in my mouth. But that being said, playing devil's advocate a little bit, I think objectively speaking, it's a tough thing to do, but you also kind of have to look into what was going on in her head as well. I mean, Rue even says this when he tries to kind of talk Adore off the ledge a bit, when he says, you know, you have a fear, you have a real negative thought going on in your head. And I'm sure we have all been in that place where you have some sort of depressive thought or some sort of negative thought existing in your head. And no matter how much you really try to pump yourself up and bring yourself out of it with objective thinking, it just drags you down. It's this giant stone that's making you sink to the bottom of the ocean. Well, so I can thinking from Adore's point of view, I guess it makes sense from that perspective. But again, if you're looking at it from the outside, I hate to see her give up this opportunity.
Well, what I was going to say was, I mean, let's talk about the tea. She's saying on social media that Raven Simonier, said something to her that was A, really cruel, B, really nasty, C, really gross. Like, these are just different things that Adore has used to qualify whatever it was that Raven Simone said. She won't say what she said. She was absolutely infuriating about it on the Periscope because she kept going back to it, but she wouldn't tell us what she said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, bitch, what is it then? Like, what did Raven Simone say? First of all, who gives a damn what Raven Simone says? I mean, have you seen her on The View? You cannot take that bitch seriously, okay? She's there for the fun. She's part of the community tangentially, all right, I guess. But, like, I mean, there are things that she says that do make me pause. So I wouldn't really give two fucks. I'm swearing now. I'm upset about it. I wouldn't really give two dams what Raven Simone says. For her to blame it on her is ridiculous. She's still the most infuriating part to me was she said, well, you know, guys, don't blame Michelle Visage. You guys are coming for Michelle. It's not her fault. Totally. I'm like,
look, this is no one's fault but yours, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. Sashay away. Girl, bye. Like, you made a mistake coming on. I really don't want to give this any more attention than it deserves because it's pathetic. I'm frustrated about it.
The one thing I do want to say is I loved, like, considering the difference between when someone quits on American Survivor with Jeff Probst and Rue's pep talk here. And Rue does, like, a really, really great job at trying to get a door to stay and, you know, building a door up. But I will say that, like, a door is like, I love you like a family member. And Rue is like, what's your name again? Like, it just, like, Rue, like, owes you nothing, Adore. Like, Adore is, like, right. When Rue was, like, can I do anything to change your mind? I was, like, yeah, return a single one of Adore's phone calls.
Yeah, I think if there's any, I mean, I think if latter entries qualify for the primetime Emmys, I kind of wish they take this episode and submit it for Rue's Emmy nomination for Best Host of a Reality Program. Because I don't know if I talked about this on air. I do think RuPaul is probably my favorite television host on TV right now, just because she does have this great mixture of pathos and compassion and also serving as a real inspiration, which Jeff Probst is a lot of things, but he ain't no inspiration to the people on Survivor. So I agree. I was very appreciative of the talk that Rue gave. Brett, I know you don't want to ruminate on this topic too much, and I just
Go ahead.
But there is a question I have from Audrey Radajak, where she kind of has a different thought on this that possibly speaks to more meta elements of the game. And I'll throw it to you, Brent. She asked, did Adore outgrow the show and not want to do it, but felt the pressure from everyone to do it because she was the number one fan favorite and owes her big break to the show and RuPaul? So do you think her Periscope talked about how, you know, she was a little nervous about coming back, especially when she first walked into the show and she realized, oh crap, I have to now throw myself to the metaphorical lions every week. But do you think part of the reason why she agreed to do it in the first place is because she thought there might be some clamor against her if she decided not to do it?
Oh, wow, that's a lot. Let me organize my thoughts on this. First of all, apparently Adore is a big star. I do not know how this is possible. Okay, I've never heard of her after Drag Race. Okay, I mean, maybe a little bit. I'm like, oh, she released an album. Whoopee. Okay, like the last time I looked, the album sold like 5,000 copies or something. Like, apparently she has money. I don't see it. Maybe someone can explain it to me. But let's assume for the sake of argument that Adore is playing clubs everywhere, is going on tour. She talked about going on tour everywhere in that Periscope, like she's Beyonce or something. Okay, let's go with that. Okay, so given that, why is she coming back to Drag Race? Okay, what does she have to prove? She's not a drag queen. She said it in her Periscope. She said, I really don't like trying to impress people with my look. Bitch, that's all a drag queen is. So if you're not trying to impress people with your look, then it seems by definition she's not really what we think of as a drag queen. She is a transvestite rocker at this point who sings and has a great voice and goes on tour, but she's not going to be down at the gay club, you know, lip syncing and cracking jokes. That's just not who she is. And
right, are you implying that Adore Delano is Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
I suppose, but watching her Periscope and then watching a few other things, I watched Katya talking about it afterwards. Like, Katya had it on point. She said Adore never should have come. She doesn't have anything to prove with Drag Race. She should have given the spot to some other girl, and that's just the end of it. That's what would happen. As to the question, I think Adore was clearly afraid of failing. I think she saw the first episode and she saw the critiques, and apparently they were way worse than what we saw. They cleaned them up. They Disneyized it a little bit. And so, I think she was mad, and I think she was thinking she's a big star now. She wasn't going to get clocked, and then she went on the runway and she got clocked, and she was a crybaby about it. Let's be honest. So and she wanted to quit after that. So boohoo, girl, bye.
The one thing I will say, Mike, is I agree Adore shouldn't have come, and this isn't coming from a Periscope or from any real knowledge, as usual. But I will say I suspect that Adore did face a lot of pressure to come back. I mean, she says in her Periscope that World of Wonder and RuPaul and Drag Race is like her family. A lot of the queens like feel they owe Ru and they'll basically do whatever asked of them. And I imagine if I'm World of Wonder, if I'm RuPaul casting this season, I need Adore then. Like, if we saw this cast without Adore, how much of our preview would have been speculation on why she wasn't there?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And then maybe you have to wonder in terms of other asks that might have been sent out. I know that the speculation community probably is not as fervent as for other types of all-star reality shows, but maybe other people, maybe Willem got an offer and decided to decline it because for some reason he didn't want to appear again. One last question I will pose to you guys is, I know Rue asked Adore, you know, think about what your fans will react and how they might treat you after this. And Adore actually does sort of counteract this point by giving a confessional about how she had been critiqued for her aesthetic over Twitter and how fans had sort of flocked to her in person and said, you know, you're the reason why we dress up because you're different from everyone else. Allie, I would love for you to think a little bit about, what do you think the impact of this is going to be, if any? Do you think Adore is going to be looked upon in a different light? Do you think people will be more disappointed in her? I mean, I think one of the downsides of these All-Stars and returning player seasons are that there are legacies that have been brought down a little bit. I think I speak on behalf of all of us, and that I think we're a little down on Adore Delano as a legacy now with the recent events that happened in this past episode. Do you think the community is going to follow suit? Do you think she's going to now fall out of contention as a big fan favorite as a result?
See, it's tough because I think Adore fans will like this, right? Like, if you're an Adore fan and you're this like grunge alternative person, like, you'll like that she like spoke her truth, stood up for herself and left because it wasn't right by her. For me, I was loving Adore on the show and I'm like, you know, I don't dislike her now, but it's definitely tainted how I feel. So more casual Adore fans, like, I'm not, you know, buying her CD. But I think, like, in my eyes, it's definitely changed.
Brent, what about you?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I agree with Allie that I think Adore's fans will love her even more for this, or, you know, or they really won't care. I mean, I think the Natural Drag Race fans will probably be annoyed with her. I know I'm definitely annoyed with her right now. And then I'm fully annoyed with her about her Periscope. Like, just, you know, here's the real tea, Mike. People that have money usually don't talk about how much money they have. And I'm really over. I've seen like two videos now with Adore talking about how much money she's making, how much money she has. Girl, please. I know what money is and you don't have it. You look like you were in some closet somewhere on tour, you know, at some Motel 6. Stop. I'm irritated with Adore. I'm probably more irritated with Allie. And I just realized we spent 25 minutes talking about Adore Delano, who I could really give two Fs about. So,
what, did you just say you're more irritated with me?
Was that a Freudian slip there, Brent?
Is that what I said? No, I think I was skipping over to say, like, I'm more irritated at Adore than Allie. That's what I was trying to say. But I think I left out the at Adore. I think I just said I was irritated at Allie.
Just checking.
Covering your ass like it was Roxy Andrews and padding. Right. Good on you.
Mike,
all right, so
are you trying to embarrass me in front of these reporters?
Perfect. Yes, let's segue into the brighter spots of this episode. Let's try to dispel as much darkness as
Incredible.
We can.
Yes.
The walkthrough has returned, and that is pun-erific with the Rue at the end. I did that on purpose. We see a few of them. There are a few more through the videos, but we get a little insight as to who everyone is going to be. In the Snatch Game, we see Alaska is going to go with Mae West. We see Tatiana is going with Ariana Grande. And Roxy is, for now, sticking with Sofia Vergara. Brent, looking at these three in particular, what was your reaction to their walkthroughs?
I knew Mae West was going to kill it. I knew Alaska as Mae West was going to kill it. I was so excited to see Sofia Vergara because I think she's, oh my God, hilarious. I love her on Modern Family. Okay. She would have been great. I was thrilled to see it. I thought Roxy looked great when she came, like when the camera was on her and you saw who she was, I instantly knew that she was Sofia Vergara. Like, I got it. Like, I was like, oh, I know who it is, you know? And then to see her switch, oh my, I just want to like reach through the TV and slap her in the face.
Allie, how are you feeling about your Alaska winner pick, even before the Snatch Game? I mean, there was a little bit of flip-flopping going on where I think a lot of queens who had done well in the Snatch Game either did okay or did not do well. And on the flip side, you had queens who did not do well do pretty well, too. Alaska had a lot to prove. Even Rue admitted to her, you know, you did Lady Bunny the last time. You didn't win, but you still did a great job with it. And were you nervous for Alaska at that point to step up to the bat, especially when we hear Alaska say, I've never done Mae West before?
I mean, I wasn't nervous only because this is Alaska's, I think, biggest strength, to be quippy and clever. And then once we saw the look, oh my God, Alaska was like breathtakingly gorgeous in this this game. I will say that my one weakness, one of my many weaknesses, especially with Drag Race, is that I don't have that deep of a knowledge of, let's just say, gay icons. And I feel like ever since Jinx Monsoon won with Little Edie, which I did know that, I feel like people are trying to do, you know, less Ariana Grande, more Mae West. And so I struggled a little bit with this episode because I didn't know necessarily what the appropriate characterization would be for some of these people. But I think Rue nailed it with Alaska when Rue said that the best part of a good characterization is, even if you're not familiar with Mae West, it's still funny and we still get what you're trying to do. And I think Alaska absolutely nailed that.
Right, yeah, exactly. Mike, this is the thing about Snatch Game. A lot of people misunderstand. Like when you saw Fifi, and I don't mean to jump ahead, but when you saw Fifi talking about, well, you know, I don't know about your Joan Crawford. It sounds too much like you. I don't know about your Sofia Vergara. You know, it doesn't sound very Sofia-ish. That's not the point, okay? It's not the point to sound like them. Many of these queens on stage did not sound like the person they were trying to imitate if you really took an objective look at it, okay? But were they funny? Were their mannerisms funny? Yes, okay? That's what you have to do to be safe or win the Snatch Game, is to make RuPaul laugh, okay? That, again, yep. Fifi totally missing the point, and anybody who listened to her really deserved the fate that they got.
Yeah, I would almost compare it, and I'll look to SNL as sort of an analog here. I would compare it to Jay doing Barack Obama as compared to Will Ferrell doing George W. Bush. I would say the Obama impression is definitely more realistic, but there's no real character and humor that comes out of it, as opposed to George W. Bush impression, which is not very aligned with the real representation of the man whatsoever, but it's just such an insane, wacky, humor-filled character that it more than makes up for it. And as a result, people have almost associated George W. Bush with Will Ferrell's impression more than the man himself, which is sort of echoes what I believe it's what Ross will say to Alaska on the runway of, you know, I'm just going to now equate Mae West with your impression from now on. And I think that's very lofty. I do want to do a little bit of a deeper dive into the idea of Snatch Game. I know you guys touched upon it with Rob a little bit as well. Allie, are there a couple rules from your point of view that you should follow when picking someone to impersonate on Snatch Game?
Oh, wow. I think Brent is going to answer this question way better than I am, but I would say that I like when somebody is current. I mean, I know that I'm going to get a criticism for that, but I liked when it's somebody, you know, very well known, but it definitely doesn't have to be. But you have to know them inside and out. So when Roxy gets hit with, you know, is that a wig you're wearing? And you miss that, like a youth, a little league player with no arms or legs.
Yeah, that's what Katya called it.
You cannot whiff. You have to come prepared with pretty much everything that they're known for that RuPaul may throw at you.
Brent, do you have any standards as well that you'd like to issue to any future queens coming onto Snatch Game in the future?
Well, when Tatiana picked Ariana Grande, I was like, okay, yes, she looks like Tatiana Grande, but we have had many, many, many a queen come on Snatch Game and look like whoever they are trying to impersonate, but they just do not understand the characterization of the person. The problem with Ariana Grande is she's really quiet if you listen to her most of the time, and she doesn't say too many things that are outrageous, other than I think she should have worked in the something about, oh, I hate Americans or something like that. You know,
well, she did quite the opposite,
right,
when
exactly.
She liked the donut. She said, I love America.
Yeah, she didn't really understand what Ariana Grande was or why it would be funny to do her. Okay. The other thing that I think would be important about doing Snatch Game is to have some ready made quips that you can work into the conversation. Like, you can't tell me that some of the things that Alaska said were things that she had not previously thought of. Like when she said the thing about, you know, when I'm good, but when I'm bad, I get a serious venereal disease. Like, she knew that at some point she would have an opportunity to say that. Okay. I guarantee you she worked that ahead of time. time. Like, look, so just so you guys know, they gave the queens the production of everything. They don't know what order the stuff comes in, okay? But they know that there's going to be some, you know, impersonation-esque, Snatch Game-esque thing coming up this season of All Stars. So they all brought looks with them to incorporate that, okay? So she knows at this point that there's going to be a Snatch Game, most likely, and I need to have some things ready. If you didn't have things ready going into the competition, that's why you failed. If you're somebody like Roxy Andrews, okay, who is not naturally funny, who all you do is good drag, and that's all she does is good drag, as Katya correctly noted in her RuCall thing, then you at least have to have some things that are prepared. If you can't think on your feet, and Roxy knows she can't think on her feet, then have some things that are prepared for her to switch at the last minute. Crazy town, crazy.
Yeah, and boiling into a point that you brought up at the beginning there, I think that when you pick a celebrity, don't pick someone who just looks wacky. I mean, I think there's a big pitfall in picking people like Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or Kesha, which again were the things that Fifi and Alyssa and Detox did that they kind of had to make up for here. When someone looks weird, you can certainly make fun of their aesthetic there, but the humor has to come from the behavior. And I'm probably looking too much into this, but as someone who does comedy and does a lot of behavior based type of improv comedy, it's something that really interests me, is this idea of really creating a character around a behavior. And that's why, again, Alaska did so well, is not just because she looked like Mae West, as Ali brought up earlier, but because she really just built a character around these mannerisms. I'd be intrigued to know, I forget if they asked, if you guys talked about this on your podcast with Rob, if you guys were on Snatch Game and you had to impersonate a female celebrity, have you guys given any thought as to who you might do if you were in their position?
I haven't. I don't know about you, Allie, but I've always thought that I would do somebody who is like old and interesting and somebody that has a lot of material that I can pull from. Like, I wouldn't even do somebody who I necessarily look like maybe somebody like Cher, and I know Cher's been done, but like I could do her a different way. And maybe like, who was it, Bianca Del Rio that did Judge Judy?
Judge Judy,
the longest time I was like, why wouldn't anybody do Judge Judy? You know, I also think that Oprah is also somebody that's really funny. I could do a good Oprah, like, you know, come on, you know how she talks, you know, with the things that she does. So there's a couple different people out there I think you could poke.
Allie, any ideas from you?
The only thing I can think of, and this is just off the top of my head, is I do like normally when the queens do someone from the RuPaul's Drag Race family. I include Lady Bunny in that, or when, who did Michelle Visage? I'm blanking.
That was Sharon Needles.
Needles, or doing Rue, or one of the other queens, or when Violet Chachki did Alyssa Edwards. Like, I just feel like, you're like, I mean, there's a lot of people you can pick from that everybody will know, but I just think that is, it's like a softball. It's like pretty easy. That's the one thing I could think of in a pinch.
I would probably go the Katya route. I'm definitely more of like the absurdist, quirkier characters. So for me, I might have to go with someone like Zooey Deschanel, who definitely has a distinct look and is weird and quirky enough that you could get out the ukulele, you could get out the thick frame glasses. It's not as over the top as someone like Bjork, but I feel like there is some comedy minds to kind of plumb there. Before we get into the impressions themselves, for the first time, we had two former contestants serve as contestants on Snatch Game in the form of All-Stars Raven and Juju. Ali, were you happy to see them back? And do you think, they talked about it in confessionals, but do you think this really did shake up Tatiana a little bit?
If Raven and Jujubee are going to shake you up and you're like a professional performer, like, that's pathetic. I love Raven. Raven is one of my all-time favorite queens. I thought Jujubee's...
Adore doesn't like Raven very much.
Is that a thing?
That's a Raven Simonier joke.
Oh, God, I'm so slow and tired.
Yeah, I missed that one without the Simonier.
Softball went down the plate.
Yeah. Yeah, work on those improv skills, Mike. I don't know.
But I thought Jujubee's look was like pretty bad. Is that bad? I'm just a hater.
Yeah,
it's like, that was bad.
You're right. It was a little bit Hawaiian flight attendant. although, then on the other hand, that's what she was on the show.
Yeah.
And Raven was a stay-at-home mom or something. So, you know, maybe that's who they were playing. Like, I don't think they were on there to give good drag. I think they were on there to let the queens shine. So to answer the question, I agree with Allie. If Raven, who is the sweetest, nicest, coolest queen, like, you know, I watch her all the time on the Fashion Review, which you, if you're not watching her and Raja doing the Fashion Review where they clock all the queens on the show right after the episode airs, it is to die for. Love it. Okay. And they give it toots and boots, whether or not they like the look or not. Anyway, so if they're making you nervous, then there's something wrong with you. Tati, if anything, should have been thrilled that her former competitors are there, and she should have been wanting to impress them. Instead, wow, what a wet fart that was, that Ariana Grande. I mean, literally, there was nothing to it. She like staring around and being quiet and giving weird looks with your eyes does not equate to a good snatch game. Maybe she thought it would, but it just didn't.
I agree with you about Ariana Grande. Or I think what Tatiana was missing was she had the look. I thought she had the voice, and she had like one or two things that Ariana Grande does. And then that was it. Like, she thought that would be enough to flow by.
You need five or six.
She totally just like missed the boat on what she should be focusing on.
Yeah. And I, going back to just the format of this, I thought it was really interesting too, where if you see the evolution of Snatch Game, in a way, they have deviated more and more from actually playing Match Game, but there were more matches in this version of Snatch Game than I think I've seen in quite some time.
Mike, that was because you had a medium up there in the top row in the Charles Nelson Riley spot in Teresa Caputo, who was being fed answers to. I mean, she has a gift, Mike. She has a gift.
She has a gift. All so before we really dive in, I'm just going to give you two a warning. I would actually like to sort of lump in both each queen's snatch game and runway game as well. Just sort of like the judges, we can take them in as sort of a package deal. So I guess while you guys get your thoughts organized, I guess I can sort of give my thoughts on, we'll go in order of introduction in the snatch game. So I'll start with Ginger Minge as Tammy Faye Baker. I thought Ginger had a lot to prove here. She was arguably one of the best snatch game performers coming in. I still think her as Adele might be one of my favorite snatch game performances in general. In this, I thought she was fine. I think Tammy Faye Baker is not as outrageous of an impression. It's more outrageous in look than it is in actual behavior, but I thought it was serviceable. She did the crying, she had the Bible stuff, she had the mascara, so she kind of checked all the boxes, and so that kind of helped her stay in the middle while everyone else kind of either sunk or floated to the top. And in her runway look, I mean, she said it was the most beautiful she ever felt, and I'd agree. I think she killed that hourglass look. We didn't talk about it last week, but I know she made that sort of very shaded joke about how all it takes to win is to wear a corset, because I think we even talked about this during our preview, that I think she very much feels that she should have won her season. But I'm glad to see her using the corset more. I think she filled out that hourglass really well, and I think, again, these were two very good performances that landed her very comfortably in the middle. Allie, do you have any thoughts about Ginger in both the snatch game and on the runway?
Yeah, I don't think we got a lot of moments on the show of Ginger Minge, and I think that might be because either A, she wasn't that strong, or B, she ended up safe, so they didn't waste the time. I thought the look was very like Judy Jetson meets the maid robot from the Jetsons. I didn't understand. Okay, great. I didn't understand like where the latex was. Was it just the like light blue panels down the side?
I thought the dress was latex.
Yeah, I thought the dress was latex too, but it was very hard to tell from the lights on the main stage.
I don't know. That looked like fabric to me. Everyone I was with was like, is that latex? I don't know. We shouldn't have to wonder. I thought she looked great, but I didn't love it for this challenge. So overall, Ginger is just kind of like very middle for me.
Brent, what about you?
Oh, wow. Like, for my purposes, I am judging the snatch game as the main challenge and the runway as the add-on, okay? And I think that's how the judges and everybody else was judging it. Like, the main stage is the one, and the runway is the 1A. Like, possibly if you did really, really horrible in the snatch game, you're going to be in the bottom three no matter how good your runway is, okay? But the runway might be able to save you when you're talking about somebody like Detox, for instance, okay? As far as Ginger goes, I like the Tammy Faye Baker probably more than I like some of the other characterizations, just because you could really tell that Ginger knew what she was doing. Tammy Faye Baker actually is a really nice lady. She wasn't ever mean to anybody. Like, I know there's this characterization of her from the church Bible thing. I forget what that, Mike, what was the name of the church?
Church lady?
Yeah, well, no, it's not the church lady. Like, her and Jim Baker, like, they had like a thing. like the club, like there was, it was a total scam.
Oh, so the 700 club?
I don't think it was a 700 club. I'm gonna look it up. I'll find it later. It doesn't matter. But
you're asking a Jew about Christianity. I know, I'm hitting a dead end here.
Right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But people think of her from that era. But like her real time as a gay icon was after that. Like after Jim Baker died, and she was a widow, and she went on things like The Surreal Life, and she had a really great time. She's a really sweet lady. But she was very thoughtful, and I thought that Ginger conveyed that appropriately.
I will say as well that I don't know if Ginger is necessarily proving or disproving that season 7 deserves a better reputation than it currently is, considering that I would probably call her one of the most under-edited contestants we've had of the two episodes thus far. She was in the sort of top last week. She got some good remarks, but otherwise she's been sort of riding the middle this time. And it looks like maybe on the next time on, she might have more prominence, but considering that we're having one of the front runners of season 7 only do kind of well in All Stars, doesn't speak terribly well to where season 7 stacks up amongst the other seasons as a whole.
Yeah, I suppose. By the way, I want to tell everybody really quickly, it was the PTL club. That's what it was. It was the Praise the Lord club, or the People That Love club. There was the Jim and Tammy Faye Baker show, the PTL club. Jim Baker resigned in a sex scandal that was all over the world. I remember it at the time. I was a young lad at the time. And Tammy Faye Baker quickly became a divorcee and then a widow. So that's how we know her. Just had to get that in.
It's very good to know. I'm always happy to learn about evangelist Christian television. So I feel all the more educated, the more you know. Allie, since Alaska is your girl, your winner pick, I find it only fitting to have you start talking about both her performance as Mae West and her outfit on the runway, which brought much acclaim to the judges.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the Snatch Game, I think I already kind of gave my thoughts there. But the look, I mean, I just think it's great. Alaska is giving what Michelle was like begging for Adore to give, which is just versatility. I mean, we see Alaska like we've never seen her before, in these gloves, you know, with this like angular blonde bob and unibrow makeup. I didn't love it. It wasn't my favorite look from Alaska, but I loved the drama. I loved that she was unrecognizable. I did not know who she was when she first came out. So I thought this whole episode was a 10 from Alaska.
Brent, has Alaska set herself up as the clear frontrunner with this episode? Is anyone going to come up and see her sometime in terms of talent level?
Possibly. I think there are a few other queens who are running right with her there, but she is really amazing, isn't she? I mean, some of the things that she worked in, like, I said that she has some things that she pre-planned. I know she did, because she's that kind of queen. She's prepared. She knows what she's doing, and she knows there's one thing that she knows. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay. But when, I think it was Detox had the answer of injections. And then she said, you know, I got an injection that makes me black or something like that. You know, like that was something.
I'm black by injection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was something that she thought up totally on the spot. Something that the other queens are totally incapable of doing for the most part. Okay. And that is something that RuPaul notices. So I love that she worked in things like that.
As a fan of Orphan Black, I loved her look, because the hair that that Alaska wore on the runway pretty much resembles Rachel, which is one of the clones on the show. I mean, this was definitely Alaska's chance to kill. I mean, she is a comedy queen. And again, even though she did not win the Snatch Game in her season, she, in my opinion, mopped the floor with everyone. And my personal favorite wasn't even the black by injection, but I love the whole talk about going to the clinic and her saying, you know, after the 10th one, you get one free. I think even though that might have been pre-planned, she was just completely ready to walk into this and slay, and slay she did. But let's talk about someone who might have challenged her a bit for that crown during the Snatch Game, Katya as Bjork. Brent, did Katya do it for you both as Bjork and with her swimsuit version of latex on the runway?
Well, if she didn't do it for me as Bjork, then she definitely did it for me on the runway with her swimsuit latex thing, something nobody else would have ever thought of. And then, as Carson correctly noted, the little nose thing that she had on her nose to it just totally made the look. OK, first of all, Snatch Game. I liked it. I didn't love it. It was a little quiet at times. I thought it was funny, but in a kind of chuckle funny kind of way, like, oh, that's very cute. Not in a laugh out loud way like Mae West and Joan Crawford were. So that's my little quibble with Bjork. I'm not sure if Allie disagrees with me, but I love the look.
Allie?
I agree with pretty much everything Brent's saying. I did love the runway look. I thought it was so clever. And as Carson said, not what you'd expect. I mean, latex usually goes to sex. And so for latex to go to this like completely unsexy, like grandma swimming cap place was incredible. And one thing I did not like, though, that I will have to check her for was the lip sync bodysuit that she then changed into. And I get why she didn't want to do the lip sync in her synchro realness look. But I wish she had, because then I feel like at least it could have been made funny, like that she was so constricted as opposed to being in this like garish bodysuit and leaving the headpiece on.
Yeah, we'll talk about the lip sync later, but I feel like it was going to be a battle of comedic proportions when you're up against Alaska. You almost have to be more ironic than she is. And so maybe, like you said, Allie, constricting her legs might have actually, and had her hop around the stage, might have actually made for a funnier lip sync overall. I mean, Bjork was playing right into my personal area of enjoyment with her humor. I'll agree with you somewhat, Brett, in that there were some weird setups, but I feel like she paid them off in spades sometimes. Like when she talks about how, you know, I keep my testicles around my ears, that's a little strange. I wasn't totally on board with that. But then she ends it with, you know, sometimes I don't understand anything about science, which I think was just a perfect one-liner. And I did think her and Alaska had the best dynamic, the best back and forth between like blowing the bubbles and just sort of sniping remarks at each other. I think those were the two that, you know, despite Ginger doing pretty well as well, I think those were the two that were the most prepared. And I'm glad that, I think this is a nice representation of Katya's sort of mandate that, you know, I was really scared last time. Remember her last snatch game? She wasn't in the bottom, but she was a Susie Orman, and I don't think she did terribly well. She wasn't in the bottom or anything, but it was serviceable. It was fine. Right. So I think this is a nice representation of like her gaining some courage and being able to say, you know, F it. Let me throw everything at the wall and do what I want.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You're taking me back to this episode because like I'm thinking of her blowing bubbles and Alaska going, I know. Just giggling through the whole thing. I think, you know, going back to Alaska really quickly and Bjork, both of them, they have what I call an ism that you have to be able to incorporate, and it really, you know, it will carry you throughout the entire show. Like Mae West has that, you know, and then Bjork has the sort of like quizzical look, like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, like, I mean, like, you have something that you can grab onto when you're scared. And I think many of these other people that struggled, they didn't have something that they could grab onto that said, okay, I know I can go back to this. It'll be funny.
All right, let's move on to the last part of the back row, the Charles Nelson Reilly place, as Brent described it beforehand. Fifi O'Hara as Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium. Allie, were there any notes in this impression aside from one?
Yeah, I was going to say Fifi, the one joke wonder here. Yeah, it started out okay. I don't even think it started out strong, but it started out okay. And usually at worst, you want to build, like the note that was given to Detox. Like you could start out a little rocky if you find your footing. And this was just basically the definition of beating a dead horse. And then she like took that dead horse and then like hung it up and just continued to just beat it and beat it and beat it.
And then she went to the farmer and said, I've talked to your horse. I have a gift. I know where your horse is.
And the look I thought was so bad. Like she was trying to, I mean, she just put on this latex bodysuit. Okay. And then like strung these rubber ducks around. Like I thought she was trying to do something like avant-garde or interesting, but it just really missed the mark. And I also, let's just add, the wig was bad, the makeup was bad, the butt was good. I'll say that, the butt was good. But that's the nicest thing I can say.
Brent, do you give a duck about anything Fifi did in her runway or in her snatch game?
Yeah, I'm gonna give her I'm gonna give her more credit than Allie did here. I think, yeah, did she work the same joke and beat it to death? Yes. But I feel like she changed it enough each time. Like, the first time she asked Rue, you know, December 25th, did you get a gift? yes, did you get a gift? Rue, I have a gift. You know, I think it would have worked better if she said, did you get a present? Because then she, you know, her comeback was, I have a gift, which sounds sort of weird. Then the second one was somebody handing her the correct answer, okay, when she matched during the snatch game. Then the third one was her writing down the answer after the fact and totally cheating while Rue is asking her the question. So again, I'm looking at Fifi. I'm looking at what she did last time as far as Lady Gaga goes. This was a vast improvement over Lady Gaga. And I think that she, like, if you want to talk about somebody who did the same thing over and over again, let's look at Alaska 5000 down there with Roxy Andrews with a, hi, like, literally that was the entire effing thing, okay? At least Fifi was able to talk like a real person and work the joke into other aspects of conversation that weren't just one-liners.
I would agree with that. I think that there were similar takes on the same type of joke. I do kind of question the choice. I mean, in the walkthrough that happened with Fifi on Logo TV, Rue even asked Fifi, like, hey, do you have any sort of backups just in case? If Fifi admits, no, I don't. And I think I've seen, you know, through other comedy venues, a lot of random impressions of the Long Island Medium, and they're good, but if you see one Long Island Medium impression, you're going to see them all. It's all the same joke about how she's a fraud. So I think she did enough interesting takes to, you know, buoy her up away from the bottom. We did get a question from Kristen Bright that says, can you discuss your feelings about Fifi being in the top and Alyssa just being safe? Because that was all kinds of wrong. And we'll maybe we can segue this into talking about Alyssa a little bit later on. But Brent, do you feel that as high as you might be on Fifi's performance, do you believe that between her snatch game and her runway look, which actually drew some criticism from the judges, she still deserved to be in the top three?
Wow, it's a tough call. I would say that I'm going to defer to the judges on this one, and I'm fine with it. I know I said on Twitter that I don't understand how the hell Alyssa Edwards was not in the top after making Rue laugh so much. I do have some thoughts on it now, and I think I have a better understanding of what happened there and why she was just safe and why Fifi was in the top. So yes, I'm going to agree with the judges on this one. I felt like Fifi was clearly number three. I think Alyssa is number four, and we'll get into it.
Allie, now from your comments about Fifi, do you think she might have been close to the bottom and perhaps could have been in the bottom three for the second week in a row?
Yeah, wait, I am like just realizing now that she was in the top three. Like, I just assumed it was like a bottom four because I'm stupid. But I will say that I thought she should have been bottom three again. And I thought actually Detox should not have been in the bottom three. But I am sure that's a controversial opinion.
Well, we'll definitely talk about Detox in a little bit, but we are skipping over who, in my opinion, might have been the complete surprise of the snatch game. For me, Alyssa Edwards, comeback story, underdog extraordinaire as the Joan Crawford. In my opinion, and I try to not mean any sort of hyperbole with this, she blew me away. Granted, Joan Crawford is enough of a monstrous character on her own to warrant a great impression, but in her walkthrough, Alyssa told Rue, you know, one of the reasons why I sort of flailed with Katy Perry is because apparently in the South, impressions are more so by look than they are by voice and behavior, which I think is kind of BS, but it's besides the point. Alyssa came back knowing what she had to improve on, and she did in spades. As Brent mentioned, she had Rue rolling in the aisles the entire time. I think her outfit was unique enough when you see all this black latex around to see someone wearing something out of Austin Powers in Gold Member with a yellow latex dress with lip prints all over and a big yellow wig. I thought it stuck out enough to possibly have her eke into that top three. So going back to Kristen's question, personally, I would have put Alyssa in the top three. Brent, Alyssa is your homegirl. What do you think about her performance this episode?
Okay, so again, on Twitter I said I didn't understand. I thought Alyssa was like going to be in the top two based on my first watching of this episode. Okay, but then I went back and watched the episode again. I was like, okay, what am I missing here? And it suddenly dawned on me what was happening, especially after I watched a few other things on Logo TV and World of Wonder. Alyssa, for funniness, and she was hilarious, okay? It was because of these constant non sequiturs that she was spouting out. It quickly became evident to you and anybody who's watching, for those people who don't know, like Allie, who don't know gay icons, okay? Joan Crawford was in many, many things. Like, she was in Mildred Pierce. She was in some other things. Like, I can't even, they're not coming to me. Whatever happened to Baby Jane? She, like, the real Joan Crawford was in those, okay? Alyssa was doing Mommy Dearest, which is somebody playing Joan Crawford, all right? So it was Alyssa Edwards as Faye Dunaway, who's doing Joan Crawford, who's then doing Alyssa Edwards. And not only that, but she had all of these lines that she had prepared, which are great, but she didn't necessarily work them in to spots that were naturally occurring. Like, it would be like Mike saying to me, Brent, how are you doing on the podcast today? And me saying, Tina, bring me the axe. Like, it's funny and it's going to make you pee yourself, but it doesn't really make sense. And that's what I think happened in the Snatch Game, is that it made Rue absolutely fall out of her seat. But Rue also knew that Alyssa quickly let it be known that she didn't have any understanding of Joan Crawford other than Faye Dunaway's performance in Mommy Dearest. And she was just going to, like, spout lines back to her from the show. So... that's where this is coming from. And did it make me laugh? Yes. Did it deserve to be in the top? Probably not. Fifi, I think, made more of an effort here than Alyssa did.
Allie, what do you think? Is it all sizzle and no steak for you on Alyssa Edwards this episode?
No, I thought it was a good performance in the Snatch Game. I think Brent just, like, broke it down with no, I don't need to say anything about it. I mean, I totally... I'm down with what Brent's saying here. I was laughing, and I was impressed by Alyssa. I also really liked that she stood her ground, that Fifi was like, it's to you, and she didn't just do a Hail Mary last minute and let Fifi get to her. I don't want to be like this acid bitch this season, but I thought this runway look was one of the worst things I've ever seen. It was like Big Bird gone awry, or like prostitute Big Bird. I didn't understand the black little hat with the yellow wig and then the pink lips and the boots. Like, I did not get it at all.
Yeah, I think if there was any chance that Alyssa was going to be in top three, I think the runway sealed it, that she was just going to be safe. I think the judges weren't necessarily impressed by the runway. I didn't even mention the runway when I was talking about Alyssa, because that's my feeling on it. I was like, was it okay? It was good. It was latex. It fit her well. At least it wasn't, an overfit like some other things we've seen on the runway. But I wasn't impressed by it. I thought she should have been safe.
Yeah, I mean, I maybe I'm sort of overhyping her look, because, again, she wasn't wearing something black and floor length like we're going to see, or a swimsuit like 5/8 of the girls did. She did do something different. Was it the most dressed down thing? Can she wear it to the Black Tie Country Club gala anytime soon? Absolutely not. But I thought it was at least different enough that it should have denoted at least some sort of acknowledgement, but at least she's safe again, which is nice. Let's move over to Nancy Grace and Detox. Allie, is Nancy Grace officially now the cursed impression on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, speaking of acid, this is, it seems, Nancy Grace honestly, like, seems like somebody that would be a great character for Drag Race or for Snatch Game, but I think it's just like 0-for-2, and we gotta just let it rest.
Brent, do you think that between these two looks, because I think we talked about how Detox and even Katya says really, really impressed on the runway, but do you think this Snatch Game performance was enough to warrant her a spot in the bottom three?
Yes, because I think the judges are looking at it like I'm looking at it, which is the Snatch Game was the main challenge. The runway was like the 1A challenge. Like, this was the thing that could, break a tie or, move you up a little bit. But Detox was clearly one of the bottom three from my standpoint. Her Nancy Grace was terrible. She didn't really have a good understanding of the funniness of Nancy Grace. Like, she was a litigator. She was a courtroom defense attorney. All right. Like, where is the evidence? What are you doing? What is this child abuse I hear about? Like that's not Nancy Grace. I mean, dude, I have been called out by Nancy Grace, just so you guys know. Like, Nancy Grace, Nancy Grace called me the hooker with the heart of gold, okay? So I know Nancy Grace. Nancy Grace is funny as shit. She's funny. It's like, that's like, have you ever heard her on Headline News? Like, you know how she talks like this. There was none of that from Detox's performance. I thought she was appropriately in the bottom three. I don't love the fact that the runway look can save her, because to me, all that really says is that Detox got some money that she got from her accident, and she has lots of money to spend things on and get herself a great outfit. Like, I didn't really see much about the outfit other than it was really amazingly made and fit her well. But aside from that, I wasn't that impressed by it. Sorry.
I again have to acknowledge the fact that it was this genie in a bottle look was, again, super different than from what everyone else was doing. I mean, I'm going back to like the Madonna challenge last season, which actually also might have been a Snatch Game runway where everyone was wearing kimonos. And as a result, those who didn't stood out much more. I feel like there is some credit that I would have to give of someone who does do something different. Now, Brett, you do bring up a good point, though. It's obvious that, you know, Detox did not construct this. This was just an outfit that she had brought. In terms of her performance in the Snatch Game, yeah, she was totally focusing on the wrong aspects of Nancy Grace, because Nancy Grace on her show is, there are certain aspects that you can make fun of, but without any real content, without crimes going on, there really isn't much to report of. I thought she made kind of the best of a bad situation with, you know, luckily they were bringing up things like Joan Crawford's child was missing and, you know, Ariana Grande killing one of her dogs. I think she was able to set up some back and forth there. But if you can't even do a damn Southern accent, I mean, that's one of the easiest accents to do. And if you can't nail that upon your first line, good luck.
Right. And this is an easy Southern accent. I mean, Nancy Grace, again, she's like, you know, have you heard what's going on today? Like, we know, all right, that the Snatch Game was rigged. Like, that's what she needed to talk like. And again, she was a litigator in the courtroom. It just didn't make sense. I don't know what she was doing.
I mean, the one thing I want to say for Detox is I agree. It was like 2008. With the Casey Anthony joke, I couldn't believe that was like her go-to crime. But I get where they're coming from, that the look, the runway look is like kind of just icing on the cake here. It's really the challenge, but I almost wish it wasn't that way. I don't, maybe two thirds, one third, not, you know, just 1%. I thought Detox's look was so strong. I Dream of Detox. I loved it. I thought, if anything, the length was just a little bit off, but I was willing to let it pass. Can we talk about that tuck? I mean, Todrick's mind was exactly where mine was. Where did you put it?
Well, I mean, yeah. I'll just be honest. When they did the close up of her pants, like, I could see where she put it. Like, there's things like, okay, like let's talk about, look, let's talk, we're going to, like, let's have a discussion really quickly about tucking, okay? Because it's going to come up over and over again.
No, please educate us.
Yes, between, exactly.
This is going to pair really nicely with the talk about evangelical Christianity.
Exactly. So let's talk about tucking really quick. There are two ways you can tuck, okay? The way that, look, Detox was tucking was your testicles, that you, before you're born, like, your testicles, like, are up inside your body, okay? Mm-hmm, and so there's a natural
looks
spot.
Like, yes, I'm familiar.
Just, okay, well, if you're a woman out there and you don't know, there's a spot where your testicles can go. If you press them up, like, up into your scrotum, all right? So that's what she's putting her, like, testicles up there, and then she's, like, taping her penis, like, up behind her butt. Like, that's how the tuck is. So to me, sometimes that can look like what we call a meaty tuck. Like, when there was a close-up there, it looked a little meaty. I'm just being real with you guys. Let's see. The other way you can tuck it is to literally, like, tape, like, we use duct tape and tape the entire thing, like, behind your butt. Like, that's the other way you can tuck. So there are two different versions. It looked like Detox was going with choice A, which is the way most queens do it. On the other hand, I wasn't as impressed by it by everybody else. I thought that the look was pulling off more of the tuck than the actual tuck was.
I'm going to have to be on tuck watch for the rest of the season now that I've been so educated as to how this happened. So we talked a little bit about Tatiana as Frankie Grande's sister, Ariana Grande, which I don't know if you guys saw one of the bonus videos on Logo this week. Was Ginger Minj was here in New York last week doing the VMAs red carpet, and Frankie Grande was there. So it's all sort of,
of course, he was.
Grande synergy going on this week. You guys spoke about it a little bit before. I'd agree with you. I think the look and voice were definitely there. I thought there was actually a wider berth of stuff that Tatiana could choose from that she chose not to. Let's remember last year when two years ago, all these articles about Ariana Grande were coming out about how she can only be photographed on the left side of her face. Her bodyguard has to carry her around like a baby. There were all these things, and Tatiana only focused on her high singing and licking the donut. And I thought that just showed how weak she was in the game. In my opinion, she was my least favorite in the Snatch Game. As we'll definitely talk about the train wreck that was Roxy Andrews next, but Roxy at least had, like, a good line, if that. Tatiana just failed, couldn't even compose herself to do a back and forth. She was laughing at Detox's response and couldn't compose herself to say anything back, even anything that was scripted. So I thought it was a massive failure. And I'll sort of echo what the judges said for her runway look. It was very basic. It felt very season two to me of what Alaska said last week, where it was like ready to, you know, ready to wear. It seemed very simple. It really did not stick out whatsoever. I know you guys have already talked about this, but Allie, do you have any more thoughts about Tatiana, both as Ariana Grande and on the runway?
Yeah, just on the, I'll just echo your sentiment about the runway look. I mean, it was just bad Halloween realness. Like, this was, I'm going to say it about someone, I guess, every episode, if I need to, this was purchased at Party City for, like, that mom who wants to get, like, wine wasted on Halloween.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't, first of all, I hated the runway look. I wanted to like the snatch game. I thought she was going to do okay when I looked at her, but then she quickly, you know, devolved into nothingness. I mean, there was nothing, there was no there, to be, as somebody else would say. So, this is what I think she should have done. She should have, like, she did, Britney Spears the first time around and she was pretty good at it. What I thought she should have done is been really topical and done Derek Berry as Britney Spears. Like, that would, it would have been a really good,
amazing,
right? It would have been like a really good wink at, and she would have still been able to get into that Britney Spears kind of way, but she could really over exaggerate it like Derek Berry does. And I think that would have been a good cheat for her to be able to do something. Again, she fell into the trap of, I know I look like this person, so it'll be good. And the look, it's not a girl. It's not about the look. It's about the characterization and whether or not you can make Rue laugh. The thing that really disappointed me the most was Tatiana has seen now, you know, 6.5 seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race since season two. She knows how Snatch Game goes. You're supposed to, I mean, if you weren't sure back in season two, you're definitely sure now. You've got to make Rue laugh. How did she think licking a donut and looking around like she doesn't know what's happening is going to make Rue laugh? Like, totally unprepared. And I apparently after the fact, Katya, well, I don't want to spoil it, but Tati was her future was bleak no matter who won the lip sync. Let's say that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And speaking of the possibility of impersonating another drag queen for Snatch Game, let's get to it. Bottom right corner, Roxy Andrews makes a last minute switch to become Alaska 5000, or at least some pale imitation of her. Brent, you talked before about how it's clear that Roxy is, I mean, Snatch Game is not amazing for her. She did do a pretty good Tamar Braxton, but it wasn't outstanding. Did you find any bright spots in her Snatch Game performance, or do you think it was complete, or do you think, I wouldn't say completely validated, but at least a little validated by what she wore on the runway?
Wow. No, it wasn't validated by what she wore on the runway. I thought her runway look was better than Tati's, but it wasn't all that great. Okay, her Snatch Game. She looked like a deer in headlights. And that's because, again, I do not understand how Roxy, especially Roxy being Roxy, Roxy knowing that, okay, I'm not good at quips. I'm not good at comedy. I'm not good at acting. Okay. I'm not good at comebacks. Why didn't she have some things that were prepared? She knew this challenge was coming. They give her weeks to prepare for this. You could literally stack up 10 things that you could say with a Sofia Vergara-esque accent. Instead, she decides to make a last second switch. You know, we can debate whether or not it was about Fifi. I don't think it really was. I think maybe she was feeling like, oh, Rue didn't know who I was right away, and now I'm really worried about that. But again, Roxy, girl, it doesn't matter what you look like, okay? It matters how you sound and if you make Rue laugh. So this was such a fail. This was a bigger fail than Tatiana. I'm just going to say it because I expect more from Roxy. Like, Tatiana, you know, I wasn't that impressed by her Britney in season two. So, you know, I wasn't sure where I was going to go in season, or in All Stars 2. But Roxy at least did a passable Tamar Braxton the first time around. Now she has an opportunity to really have some fun with Sofia Vergara, who nobody else can do, who is like, that's Roxy Andrews. Sofia Vergara is thick and juicy and loud and boisterous and funny. That's Roxy Andrews. Why she decided to switch, I just don't know. I really don't. Because the Alaska that she did, let's be honest, it looked like a trick-or-treater version of Alaska. Okay. It did not look it did not look like the real Alaska, and she didn't have anything ready to say as Alaska 5000.
Everyone's going to the Halloween store this week, apparently, on the Snatch Game. Allie, what did you think about Roxy overall?
Yeah, I think we need to pay more respect to the trick-or-treater versions of Alaska out there, because I thought Roxy was like just bottom of the barrel impersonator here. I agree with everything Brent said. I think she almost ruined Hai for me. Like, right? She didn't quite get there, but it was almost done. I do like that she teed up the, like, one of Alaska's good jokes, which was just like, what's the big idea? Like, whatever, like, responding to Roxy's complete failure. And now I'm just thinking, like, with Brent's mindset, what if Roxy, and this would only be if she was completely scrapping Sofia Vergara, did Roxy Andrews in season 5? Like, I know that's like a crazy risk, but I feel like we've been making fun of Roxy. Like, she's been self-deprecating about her performance on season 5 and her just being a huge jinx bitch. I just think that would have, or big bitch to jinx. I think that would have been better than this. I like the idea of like trying to cheat the system if you're not good at this. The one thing I will say about her look, I loved her look. I get that it was just another like latex dominatrix, but I thought she did it the best. I mean, maybe besides Alaska, I thought the wig was phenomenal. And I think,
yeah, the wig was good.
I don't think Roxy redeemed herself from the Snatch Game, but I did think it was a very, you know, another strong look for Roxy.
Allie, thinking outside the box again, I love your idea. Like, for Roxy Andrews to do Roxy Andrews season 5, jinx monsoon hating thirsty bitch, like, that would have been great. Oh my God. And she would have had so many great jokes about how she's hating on Jinx, and her favorite moment on the show was when Jinx was in the bottom two. Like, I mean, it would have been wonderful. But of course, Roxy's not that creative.
Well, she could even do jokes like, my initial thought when you suggested that was, oh, is she only just going to do the one joke? Are we getting to the Long Island medium territory? But you still have the sequin dress moment. You have the where my people at, that stuff. And how, like, she could even make a self-deprecating joke, as you said, about how, like, Alaska talks. Or she could even say, like, well, I don't even know why I'm here. I can't do comedy, apparently. I can only, you know, fill out an hourglass shape. So maybe she could, I think she should have just gone for broke and done it. Yep. Maybe it felt a little safe for her to do Alaska. It also felt super weird on the runway to have Carson say, like, Alaska's like talking about Roxy, why she failed on her on Alaska impression, saying like, Alaska's so funny, she's amazing, she's brilliant, and Alaska is standing right there and is her competition. This is the first time we've had someone do an impression of a drag queen who was currently in the competition. So it just felt a little awkward to have Carson and talk up Alaska so much when Alaska is in the competition.
Can we talk really quickly about, like, Alaska has impressed, and let's be honest, like, she impressed me. Again, I thought she could have been the winner during season 5 with Jinx Monsoon. If Alaska ever ends up in the bottom 3, I think she should quickly be eliminated. I'm just being real with you guys. Like, we can talk about the logistics of this and how these queens apparently have to work with each other after the show. So it might get a little wonky. But Mike, when we get to the lip sync, we need to talk about the ramifications of how the queens are deciding to eliminate people, because I think we got to talk about it.
Yeah, so let's just tuck on a quick couple of notes before we really get to the runway. Did you guys like the random appearance of Shangela at the end of the Snatch Game, that it turned out she was, quote unquote, in disguise?
God, that was so funny. I love Shangela. I love the fact that they did the quick switch there with Juju and then it was Shangela. And Rue's reaction was like, Shangela? Like, it was like,
hallelujah.
I love when they do that. Last night I was playing like some like game with like 30 people. And at the end, like, someone I've been watching Drag Race was like, and the winner is, and I was like, Charo. I love when they do shit like this. I mean, it's just classic Snatch Game.
One other thing that I will mention, we have to talk about Alyssa's mask, right? I Brent, I will admit I'm starting to slowly but surely fall in love with Alyssa Edwards. What am I conflating Roxy Andrews with Alyssa Edwards? Maybe I'm shipping the two, but I think now that I've sort of bought into your ideology of she isn't in on the joke, just laugh at the fact that she's completely over the top. Things like the mask and her eyes darting around the screen just made it for me personally.
Right. That was amazing. And also, if you watched her during Snatch Game, like, that's why Rue was laughing her ass off, because of all of the eyes and the Alyssa Gibbs face. Okay, that's what she's good at. So during the Snatch Game, she was giving tons of face as Faye Dunaway, as Joan Crawford, and she was just like, I can't show it to you on the podcast now, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, she was giving it to you, and that's what makes you love Alyssa. If Allie hates her, I can't be held accountable for that, but I love Alyssa Edwards.
I feel like I've been giving Alyssa credit where credit's due, especially season.
Yeah, we've been fairly warm on Alyssa. I think the coldest we were on her is just in the preview. So I think it speaks wonders that, you know, as soon as we saw her back on our screens, we were impressed with her. We can probably gloss over the judges' critiques as well, since we really talked about the majority of them. The only thing I will mention is it's good to see Ross Matthews back, because Todrick Hall is still not really doing it for me. I think we talked last week about how he was a little bit of a butt kisser, and this week he continued to do so with his little quip to Rue about, you know, directly quoting Rue's song, almost in like a Snatch Game version of setting Rue up. Did you guys have any sort of feeling about Todrick, or do you think he still needs to impress?
Well, before Allie gives her butt kissing to Todrick, I will say I'm with Mike on this one. I'm still waiting to see, like, girl, show me what you got. Okay, Todrick, I'm talking about. All right, you're on the show. You've been hired. You're here for the rest of the season. You don't got to impress anymore. Like, give us the real bitchy, funny, like, outrageous Todrick Hall. And instead he's being so bowing down to these queens and oh, I love this and you guys are so amazing and like, this is great. Like, he has, like, you know, look, yes, he has a really positive energy about him, but that's not what I want from my Drag Race judges. I want a little bitchiness. I want a little fun. I want a little bit of shade, and he's not giving that. Allie, what you got for your boy?
No, I agree with you guys. I think he's definitely been hanging back. I will say, like, I tend to agree with what he says, but I don't think how he's delivering it is funny at all, and it needs to get there. He did give Roxy the business this week, which was, you know this is coming, come prepared, which I appreciated.
Right.
But yeah, he's being pretty forgettable this season. The one thing I'll say about Ross is when everyone's time comes to eventually leave podcasting, I want to come back just like Ross Matthews, where you just come back for the best episodes. Like, right. How did he negotiate that? Can I negotiate that?
Yeah, he said, like, I'll let Todrick on if only I get to come back and do Snatch Game.
Right. Yeah, he definitely got the prime seat. I think he was loving his time there. I'm kind of mad that he's not there anymore, actually, because Ross Matthews is a major... Look, not that Todrick isn't a fan, but I don't know what it is. Like, Ross Matthews is so much more comfortable in his own skin. Like, he's been around the block a few more times than Todrick. I think that he just is able to say things to the queens that Todrick at this point is not able to.
And I was even thinking about, like, what did Ross sound like? Not even, you know, in his guest starring, but when he first appeared as a regular in season 7. But even then, I feel like he was still bringing personality to it. So maybe Todrick has to warm into it. Maybe we'll see this for the rest of the season. I hope it's the former. Let's get into the Queen's deliberation. So Katya and Alaska are determined as the top two. They each win 2 tickets to Zoomanity, Cirque du Soleil's Sexy Cabaret.
I'm sorry.
God only knows what that entails.
Mike, they were actually sentenced in prison to Zoomanity. Actually, that's what I heard. Yeah, it's
I don't even want to imagine what that is.
Yeah, it's not that
great. I heard it's the worst.
Yeah, no, girl, bye. Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. Well, hopefully nobody else will have to be sentenced. Maybe hopefully Tatiana and Coco Montrese are not being held captive in Zoomanity until they come back into the competition. But our bottom three are Roxy, Tatiana, and Detox. Our deliberation segment is a little bit like last week. We do have this time both Alaska and Katya taking people aside to ask them why they should stay. We have a couple questions about this from Glenn K. The first one he asks is the Queen's deliberation segment becoming repetitive? It's always, quote unquote, do what's best for you, I respect your decision, etc. Allie, we've only seen this for 2 weeks, but do you feel like we're following a formula here when deliberating who to get rid of?
I cannot stand this part of it. I'm all for the Queens eliminating each other, but the fact that I have to watch what feels like 45 minutes of them you know, being very fake. Like, let's be real. Like, you want to go up to them and say, do not cut me, bitch. We're friends. Like, do not cut me. I need this. Or you want to have Alaska, like, look at Tatiana and say, if I win, it's you. Like, that will never happen. And I'm just so sick of this bullshit deliberation.
Yeah, I have to think, Mike, right. that the producers yeah. have been the producers, RuPaul, they are hating life right now because the queens are not giving them what they want. I think they were hoping for a little bit more Big Brother, Survivor, a little bit more cutthroat. But it appears that the queens have all jointly decided, I guess, through peer pressure or something, that they are going to eliminate whoever does worse in the main challenge and on the runway. And Katya, again, on her RuCall, that she does a thing where she talks about what happened in the episode on her YouTube channel. She said, you know, this, it didn't seem like it's something that's going to change anytime soon. It seemed like something that is going to continue. Like, you know, this agreement that the girls and I have decided we're going to eliminate whoever does the worst in the challenge. And I'm like, then why are you doing it then? That we might as have had, mm-hmm. we might as well have Rue eliminating you guys. Okay. Like I'm praying that at some point somebody steps up and does something that is crazy, but I'm nervous that it's never going to happen because let's be real. Drag is a very small community. All of these queens have to work with each other. Okay. They're all friends. They will be friends after the show. They have to work with each other. I'm nervous that if somebody, like, let's say Alaska ends up in the bottom three somehow, let's just say that. Okay. And somebody eliminates her when she was clearly not the worst in the challenge. I would cheer it. I think most of fandom would probably hate that queen. And then you're going to have trouble down the line with Alaska and Alaska's friends. So I'm hoping that this twist works itself out, but I'm nervous that right now it's just a lot of nothing. It's just, okay, there's no drama anymore. Like, I knew Tati yeah. was the worst. And so if the queens are doing what they say they're going to do, then they're going to eliminate Tati. So I'm kind of bored by it.
Yeah, I would say that I think where the drama might kick in might be when we're getting to like the final five or four. I feel like as few queens as there are left in the competition, I think a lot of them are like, well, there's a lot of people left, so I want to make sure I don't stick out in particular. Let me just get rid of the worst person. But I feel like once they get closer to that $100,000, they start smelling that money. They're going to say, okay, now we really need to start cutting competition. So I have faith in that. But yeah, it was not as much fun this episode, especially because last week we were like frothing at the mouth at this idea of, oh, they're told the edit's totally leading for Alaska to win the challenge and then cut Roxy or Detox. We got that exact situation to happen this week and it didn't happen. So I hope that the situation presents itself again in the coming weeks, because if they built that up of, oh, Alaska Tox is no more, only for nothing to come of it, I'm going to be pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I'm going to be disappointed too. The other thing that I'm hoping is that somebody who is maybe not one of the top competitors, but again, that's really hard to say because there's only seven queens left, and I'm sure all seven of these queens think that they are one of the top competitors. But if you get into the top and you win the lip sync, somebody like Alyssa Edwards or somebody like, you know, dare I say, Ginger Minj, okay, if she wins the lip sync, does she take a swing at her competition? I'm kind of hoping so, but I think, you know, look, because we know this from reality TV, Mike, Allie, once it happens, then the door is open. Then they will do it. You know, they will do it to the end of time. But not until that door opens will they go through the door, because they don't want to be the one queen who eliminates mm-hmm. somebody who is their competition. And then that for that to boomerang back onto them the following week. And then they get eliminated because of that. So that I think that's what they're worried about.
The issue is that like the stakes are so much higher. Like, forget that they're friends. If America turns their back on you, like, you need these people to come see your shows, to come to your appearances, to line up at your tent at DragCon or right. whatever you're doing. Yeah. And if you are hated on Survivor, whatever, you go back to your normal life. You're not banking on people. Most people aren't banking on people paying to see them.
Most people are.
But, so, yeah, I mean, and it's also like, it's not like a show like The Challenge or Survivor where having a rival is like an incentive to bring you back. Like, they're not doing, I mean, we've never seen somebody on more than twice, right? All Stars is presumably the end of the road for you on Drag Race. And so there's no incentive to like come back as this big villain.
Yeah, I think that, Mike, I have to say, I think that Rue has it in reverse. I think that this twist of the queens eliminating themselves would work really, really awesome on a queen, on a season with new queens. Okay. Where the queens don't, where the queens don't know each other, where they don't know what they're, you know, what's going to happen after Drag Race. Like that would work great on a season like that. On a season like this, I feel like you have to have Rue doing it. I really do.
I do have a question that I do want to pose that Glenn also asked us. Should the bottoms be negotiating slash promising the top safety if their positions reverse in upcoming weeks, a la Big Brother? Allie, what do you think about that? Let's put what they're currently doing aside. Let's say they're working in a perfectly strategic environment. Do you think it's viable for Roxy to go up to Katya, for instance, and say, you know, you take care of me, I'll take care of you, to quote Boston Rob, like, if you fall into the bottom and I'm in the top, I'll protect you? Or do you think that's sort of inherent in Alaska and Katya deciding to keep them around?
I don't think it's inherent. I just think that they're trying not to play this like shady strategic game, that it's like, if you make a promise to someone like that, you're implying that even if they are the worst queen in the challenge or get the worst critiques, that you still won't send them home, which is like a violation of this group's rules. I am surprised that we're not seeing more real talk. Like, Detox doesn't sit down with Alaska and say, like, girl, you know I have your back, like, you know, as opposed to this blanket promise or alliance or, you know, like, explicitly. I think I'm still surprised that they're not, like, doing a little bit of guilt.
Right. I think the closest we got to that was when Roxy said to Alaska, you know, win this lip sync. Come on, win this lip sync. And Alaska was looking at her like, okay. And Roxy was like, win it. Like, bitch, just come out and say it. Like, bitch, you need to win this lip sync and keep me safe, because you know that if I win the lip sync next week in a fashion challenge, that I am not going to eliminate your ass. That's what we need from these queens. We're not getting it. I'm pissed. Just like Big Brother.
So let's talk about the lip sync briefly. I mean, I don't know if you guys agree. I thought Alaska ran away with it. I think they were rolling in the aisles with the stuff. I loved her floor work. I loved, you know, her jokes about the floor being dirty, that one aerobics moment when she was holding her legs up. Katya, I love her, but I think she just got overshadowed. She had that one good motion with like 254, and then she did like the cocaine gesture, but she did it a couple times. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I just think Alaska totally ran away with this episode in general.
Mike, Alaska Swiffered the floor with her taint, like Milan, okay? Like, that's, Katya said that on her Ru call, and I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly what she did. Like, this was just like, this was great. I loved Alaska in this. Like, it wasn't even close. Katya said that she didn't even, like, she thinks that the lip syncs are a little bit different, and maybe this is something we can talk about, because you're not fighting for your life. You're like, you're fighting for the chance to eliminate a queen and $10,000. And I don't know, maybe it's lacking a little bit of drama because of that. And I think that's something we probably have to talk about too, that there's no real drama, because I don't give two F's about who wins $10,000, because that doesn't concern me. And I don't really care which of these queens has to eliminate, because I feel like I knew it was going to be Tati either way, and it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really interesting, because I think the last two lip syncs have been like fairly disappointing overall.
Yeah, they have.
I will say that I, in eighth grade, did a lip sync to this song, so I really connected with it. I should have known that I would be podcasting one day about RuPaul's Drag Race from that.
Right.
Yes, from a show that didn't exist, of course. You should have known. You should have had the Teresa Caputo gift.
I think Alaska like came correct with that scissor reveal. I think that was phenomenal. I do think that the editing does make it so that you couldn't possibly think the other queen could win. So I would maybe give that to Katya. I don't feel like we really saw her as much as Alaska,
right. But
I did think that Coke joke was good the one time she did it. Totally agree with you there, Mike. Overall though, Alaska was phenomenal, but please don't do anything ever again in kitten heels.
Brent, I to go back to the question that you asked, I mean, I do have to sort of agree with you here. And I wonder, I think we brought this up actually in our cast preview when we were talking about the format of, you know, are we removing the teeth of the lip sync and not having them lip sync for your life? I mean, as the scissor moment aside, I mean, we haven't had things like the wig under the wig, or, you know, Jiggly Caliente doing a jump into a split. Nobody's really brought out the guns. And maybe it's because again, with this twist, we had initially thought, oh, this would be fun because it's sort of like they have to compete to save someone who's in the bottom. But it seemed like for the second week in a row, if Katya is to believe, they were going to be in agreement of who was going to go anyway. So Tati was pretty much screwed by the time Rue announced that they were the top two.
Yeah, I agree with you that the so far, you know, it's only episode two, but I'll give it time. The listings aren't doing it for me because you don't sense the desperation. Like, it's literally like Katya and Alaska, they were just having a good time up there. And I'm sorry, I don't want to see people having a good time. I want to see people pissed and fighting for their effing lives. Like, that's what I want to see. So I'm kind of mad that the lip sync for your life is gone. We got this lip sync for your legacy, which I don't even think rolls off the tongue very well. I mean, look, Logo at least did right by the queens and giving them $10,000 a lip sync. So I'll give them that. But that doesn't make for good TV. So that's a totally separate discussion.
So let's eulogize Tatiana a bit. Again, we're not sure what this Redemption Island thing is going to pay off in, but it was a little bit of a roller coaster ride. I think we were all meh on her, if not disliking her during the preview. She impressed during the first episode, only for it to all come crashing down. Ali, what did you think about Tatiana's journey, and would you have wanted to see more episodes of her?
You know, I think that she got what she needed. I know she would have liked to be there longer. I think I have a more positive impression of her than I did coming into the season. So in that respect, I think she had something to prove, and to a certain extent, she proved it. Do I think that she's going to have this new brood of followers and fans? Not really. I'm not really disappointed to see her leave either.
Brent, you were the lowest on Tatiana during the cast preview. Have you come around on her? What are your final thoughts on her journey in this season?
Right. I was probably the lowest on Tati coming into the cast preview, and then the highest on Tati after episode one. Like, I really loved what I saw from Tati after episode one. So I'm a little bummed that she bottomed out so quickly. On the other hand, as Ali correctly points out, you know, I think that this is the best of both worlds for Tati because she had a great episode one. She got to really impress people. She was sexy as all get out, and she killed the challenge. I only wish she would have won $10,000 because that would have like been the icing on the cake for her. Like, well, you're out, but here's $10,000, you know, see you, girl, bye. But she didn't even get that. And then episode two, she definitely, well, I'll say this. She flattened out. She didn't do as great as she could have. The look was right, but she can also blame it a little bit on Alaska talks and say, you know, well, because that's what she seemed to do in the episode. She was blaming it on the fact that Alaska was the decider, and she knew that she was not going to eliminate Detox or Roxy because of Alaska talks. Again, Alaska can say what she wants, but until she proves otherwise, it looks like Alaska talks is still a thing as far as alliances on the show go.
Yeah, I was excited about the idea of Tatiana as a wild card in the first couple of episodes, but sort of like what we were talking about with the elimination style, if the queens are going to be a little toothless for now and not necessarily go out for blood and eliminate threats, I don't think that wild card is necessary in the game. So if she's not really going to play a role in the strategy of the season, I'm fine seeing her go here. I think she had her nice little redemption story with, you know, being the person who was the least out from her regular season and doing really well in the first episode, and you know, it was not her week, so she had a nice rise and fall. It'd be interesting if she came back, because again, I don't know what she would do. Would she get revenge against Alaska Talk specifically? Who knows? But I'm fine to see her go right now. Before we wrap things up, do you guys have any more thoughts about this supersized episode?
I don't know. I mean, like, it was a okay, fun snatch game. Loved Alyssa Edwards. Loved Alaska as Mae West. Like, she couldn't have picked a better character, in my opinion. So a lot of wins on that front. Katya also did well. A few other queens did okay. I like All-Stars. It's not giving me what I want so far, but I'm hoping that things move along. Again, once somebody opens the door and eliminates somebody that the other queens aren't agreeing is necessarily the bottom, then that's when I think you're going to have fireworks. Look, it's final seven at this point. The queens don't know if there's somebody coming back or not, but it's final seven. Three of those people are Alaska talks. I'm sorry. You have to take a real moment to think, like, oh, you know, if I let this group of three who are really strong competitors get further in the competition, what are my chances of winning $100,000? Like, bitches, there are $100,000 waiting at the end. Like, get some of these girls out of there. I don't know what they're thinking right now. Allie, maybe you can help me out.
No, my only thought is, like Brent's saying, it really is, this season is not doing it for me in the way I'd hoped. I think it's because my expectations were unreasonably high. So, like, mm-hmm. after the Snatch game, I was left kind of feeling like, meh. But in breaking it all down, I mean, I think it was a decent Snatch game overall. My expectations were just through the roof, and I have to, like, come into next week's episode, you know, they're only human.
Yeah, I would say that I think we all came in with our expectations very high. We sort of bottomed out, and now I think we're riding a comfortable middle. Next week doesn't look like anything spectacular in terms of a challenge. It's a lip sync challenge. We know how Ginger Minj does with choreography, so maybe that will be a storyline. We'll see. Maybe people will change up that information. Maybe, as Brent said, the door, or and not a door, will be opened. But this was definitely a big roller coaster of an episode. Let's remember that the first half hour was focused on someone quitting the game for a first time. So I was entertained, but like you guys said, I'm waiting to see more happen, and hopefully more will happen next week. We will be here to recap it all. In the meantime, you guys have a whole variety of ways to reach out to us. Of course, you can always contact us on social media. Allie is at @LashTweets. Brent is at @OneLuckyGay. I am at @MikeBloomType. We always love to hear from you guys on Twitter. And guess what, guys? Something new is in the picture. We have a new feed for this specific RuPaul's Drag Race recap on reality TV wrap-ups. I don't believe we have a link on Rob Has a Website yet, but if you go into the iTunes store and you type RuPaul's Drag Race, or you type any one of our names, it should show up. So please subscribe. It'll come right into your iTunes feed. RuPaul's Drag Race podcast only, but listen to all the great stuff on reality TV wrap-ups as well. It's fantastic. But the great thing you can do on the feed as well is rate and review. We've gotten a few 5-star reviews. I'll read one out loud right now, and I hope to read a 5-star review every week. This one is from RFM7846, called OMG, the RPDR podcast. And it just simply says, I am so happy that there is coverage of RPDR this season. The podcast is amazing so far. Loving Mike, Allie, and Brent. Keep up the good work. We hope so. We hope to do so, RFM. But we hope that you guys can come to our feed and rate and review us. I'm going to throw it over to Brent, who does such a convincing job telling people to go subscribe to the feed. Brent, give him the pitch for this week for our RuPaul's Drag Race recap feed.
All right, ladyboys, bitches, everybody out there, you need to get onto iTunes right now. Seriously, help me out. I'm poor. I need money. I need that. Like, this podcast means something to me. My whole life depends on this podcast. Are you here? Are you with me? Okay, well, I'm not really, but still, I want you to go on to iTunes and give us a review. Say something positive about Allie. Say something shady about Mike, and you can say something fabulous about me if you want to, but say something about us and give us a review. I want more.
Perfect. To finish things off, guys, hashtag TuckWatch. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah. Got to go with something about the tuck.
Perfect. Perfect. So I will remain ever vigilant now that Brent has educated me personally, and hopefully a lot of you out there, about how to tuck. We'll be back next week, rain or shine, to talk about week 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2. For now, sashay away. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.